To make sure millions of people are getting paid on time and in compliance, ADP is staying on top of each new piece of legislation. So when it comes down to it, ADP isn't just a payroll and HR company. We're the company that helps you navigate complexity. Learn more at ADP.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, October 9th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. We rely on batteries to power many of our go-to electronic devices, but in the future, we might not be so dependent on them. On today's show, our columnist Christopher Mims tells us about the technologists working on perpetual computers, devices that run on energy harvested from the world around them. Chris will join us to explain how that works after these headlines. Facebook says it's removed 200 accounts, 55 pages, and 76 Instagram accounts run by Rally Forge, a U.S. marketing firm with ties to the prominent conservative youth group Turning Point USA. Facebook said the accounts had posed as fake users to praise President Trump and criticize his Democratic rival, Joe Biden, and that in doing so, they violated Facebook's rules around what it calls coordinated inauthentic behavior. It's the latest in a number of recent steps Facebook has taken to curb misinformation on the platform, and it's one of the company's most high-profile actions against a domestic political operator. The move reflects a growing concern about the potential reach of disinformation as Americans cast ballots in the U.S. election. IBM says it's doubling down on cloud computing and artificial intelligence. In order to do that, the company said yesterday that it plans to spin off its unit that manages clients' IT infrastructure. That unit accounts for nearly a quarter of IBM's sales and staff, but the business has shrunk as customers have embraced the cloud in recent years. The move is one of the biggest shifts in IBM's history, and investors seem to be welcoming the news. The company shares rose about 6%. And what do three former Disney executives, basketball legend Shaquille O'Neal, and Martin Luther King Jr.'s eldest son have in common? Well, they're teaming up to make acquisitions in the media and tech industries. The unlikely group has created their very own special purpose acquisition company, or SPAC. It's an increasingly popular way to take companies public without having to file for a traditional IPO. In its filing, the group said it plans to raise $250 million and that potential acquisitions might include intellectual property and audience aggregation tools, like streaming platforms. All right, coming up next, the future of computing might include fewer batteries. We'll talk about why that is after the break.
A payroll and HR company needs to be prepared for whatever's going to happen. You could say that over 70 years of experience helping businesses all over the world run smoothly is good preparation. But for ADP, that's not enough. To make sure millions of people are getting paid on time and in compliance, we're staying on top of each new piece of legislation. So when it comes down to it, ADP isn't just a payroll and HR company. We're the company that helps you navigate the complexities. ADP, HR talent, time, benefits, and payroll. Informed by data and designed for people.
Batteries have become the de facto way we power our portable devices, everything from our phones to our laptops to electric vehicles. But some have been turning away from batteries and moving towards something called perpetual computing machines instead. They operate on harvested energy from their environments. Our tech columnist Christopher Mims has been looking into this, and he joins me now to explain. Chris, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so like we said, pretty much everything uses batteries right now. We've reported that demand is through the roof. So why this push to move away from them?
So the big push here is that computers are getting smaller, they're getting more numerous, and the CEO of NVIDIA, Jensen Huang, said that he believes the future of computing is a trillion devices doing AI at the edge, which basically just means a bunch of sensors with a little bit of compute attached, and they're scattered throughout our environment, our buildings, our oceans, our farms. And in order to make all of these do their jobs, you need power from somewhere, right? So the question becomes, are we going to have a trillion batteries? And if so, who's going to change a trillion batteries once every 2 years or whenever they run out? And so there has been this push in the really like kind of low power computing engineering world. Number one, what if we could make computers so low power that they would last for a really long time on batteries? And number two, what if we could make them so low power that they don't need batteries at all because they're just harvesting energy from their environment? So obviously you can put tiny solar panels on them. You can harvest vibrations and turn that directly into electricity. And, you know, there are very basic physical principles that allow you to turn, for example, ambient heat into electricity. That's a really well-known sort of old physical principle that dates back to the beginning of semiconductors, even before they were used for computers. And so we are really kind of at a tipping point where you have these super tiny but powerful processors that are using on the order of maybe like 500 milliwatts of power to compute. And to put that in perspective, that's half the amount of energy, power that a fly uses in flight, a tiny little house fly. And that's so little energy that you can sort of soak it up from your environment. Literally, there are scientists working on harvesting this energy from dirt. They call it a microbial fuel cell. It's just two metal electrodes. You just stick it in the dirt, and literally these bacteria create a tiny current across those electrodes.
And so where are we on actually putting that sort of technology into practice as part of some sort of computing tool?
So there have been some really interesting demonstrations where people harvest wireless energy. So there are teams that have done things like a complete phone that has no batteries and is working just by capturing energy from a nearby radio tower and sort of bouncing the signal back. So lots of wireless energy harvesting work has been done. The latest work is that some very clever researchers out of TU Delft and Northwestern got together and created a Game Boy that has no batteries, and it has solar panels on it, and it's also harvesting energy from your button presses, believe it or not. It's so efficient that it can run its display and its compute and everything with just a handful of milliwatts of power, which it can harvest from its environment.
So as you said, the vision is that these sorts of devices eventually become ubiquitous. What would that look like, and what needs to happen between now and then?
In order for this to become ubiquitous, there's one other really key unlocking technology that has to come in. It's fascinating because it is this complete upending of the way that computing has always worked. So we all know that if we restart our computer, we lose our unsaved work, right? Like before the cloud existed, we all remember losing our class projects in Microsoft Word documents when somebody tripped over the power. They're working on a kind of computing, which is called intermittent computing, where RAM, the sort of temporary memory, which requires power to store any information, and storage, which in the old days was like a hard drive or a flash drive, or even going back to punch cards, those two types of storage and memory are exactly the same. So you create a permanent storage that uses so little energy, you can update it like RAM. But when you switch the power off, nothing changes. So the cool thing about intermittent computing is you can be doing a calculation and you're using solar power or whatever, cloud goes in front of the sun, the computer loses all power. The instant it gets power again, it just picks up right where it left off. It's a computer you never restart, and it can operate forever, which is a weird concept when you think about it. It's computing as infrastructure. So people have proposed, let's put like a strain sensor, a little bit of compute and a sensor inside of fresh concrete that you're going to build into a bridge. And then for as long as that bridge exists and until that sensor breaks down, which it's not going to because it's embedded in stone, more or less, it will be able to sense its environment, and you can sort of ping it with a little bit of wireless power, and it'll tell you, like, here's how this part of the bridge is doing. And so it's this enabling of what's called perpetual computing through something called intermittent computing and also these really low power processors. And then the really kind of mind-bending thing that comes next is if this becomes the norm, and we know it's already possible because people are doing it in the lab, someday the majority of computers will be these tiny perpetual computers, these little tiny sensors that we just kind of dot all over our environment.
So does that mean that we're heading towards a totally battery-free future, or are there limits to how applicable this kind of technology really could be?
So this solution definitely only works on very simple applications. You can actually do a little bit of AI once you've trained the network to like listen for a wake word or do some very elementary processing out at the edge, as they say, the edge being the opposite of the cloud. But you're not going to have a battery-free phone, for example, because our phones are just way too demanding in terms of their processors and their displays and all the rest. You're not going to have a battery-free laptop. But some of the things that your phone has to interact with now and query, those things could be battery-free.
Definitely a field we'll be watching. Our tech columnist, Christopher Mims, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
That's it for Tech News Briefing this week. Chris Zinsley is our supervising producer, and Kateri Yoakum is the executive producer of Wall Street Journal Podcasts. I'm your host, Amanda Llewellyn. If you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. All right. Thanks for listening, and see you next week.